So welcome to another episode of Equipped Agronomy, where we bridge the gap between agronomy and equipment. This is brought to you by Borgo Industries. My name's Curtis DeGoyer, and I have over here Mr. Jeff Shrukoff.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Jeff, how are you doing today?
You know, it's a wonderful day.
It is. It is a wonderful day. And you know what? This is going to be a wonderful episode.
It is.
This is going to be our first season finale episode, if you can believe it.
It's kind of exciting, actually.
Yeah. 12th episode, I think we determined that this is going to be. Thought that was, it's been fun.
So what are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about the beginning of this spring, where we're putting in all these trials we got going on here. We seem to do a lot of trials, so I thought we should maybe just lay out what we're doing. And then the listeners can follow up or pay attention to, you know, maybe what's happening in these trials later on in the summer when we'll come back to you around, I would say start of July or so. We'll get their next episode or next season going then. So I think that's the plan. We're going to go through what we got laid out for this season and what we're hoping to learn from it.
I'm just excited that it's the time of year where we put the microphone away and we put our coveralls on and get busy outside. The days are long. It's nice and warm. It's fresh. It's spring.
I do like that smell.
Yeah.
You know, that moldiness kind of coming off, right? And you just want to get some dirt turning.
Yep.
Soil turning there.
Nothing smells better than freshly tilled
it is,
soil.
It is true. Yep. And we do have a lot of stuff on the go this year. So it's going to be another exciting year. I think at the end of every fall, it's always like, okay, we are cutting down the number of trials. This is ridiculous.
But we're not.
And then you go through the winter and you start looking at this information and then you go to shows and then you start talking to guys and, you know, they're wanting to, you know, learn more about what we did, but then, hey, have you tried doing this? Right. Oh, that's a good idea.
I don't think people realize how much, like the input that we get at trade shows and throughout the whole year, how much of that actually gets incorporated into the trials.
Like,
I always encourage people, you know, like if we're bullshitting at a show or something like that, like, hey, lay it out there because we can actually incorporate some of this stuff into what we're doing. It's exciting.
Well, you know, talking with people, that's what you get. Got a lot of good ideas. So we're finished off some trials and some treatments that we're playing with. Your love hate with PRGs, plant growth regulators. We're not bringing that one back in again. We kind of stuck a pin in that one.
Stuck a knife in it, actually.
Knife, maybe, perhaps. Yeah. But a couple other ones, some starter FOSS trials that we were playing with. We got a couple years on it. Not bringing that one back in again. But then we do have maybe some expansion and then continuation of these other trials that we got on the go. So why don't we dive into it? One of the biggest trials that we're doing, and I'm going to combine it because we're actually doing almost all of these trials in wheat and in canola. So both, but the first one is this whole nitrogen placement trial that we have on the go. So it's nitrogen placement as well as a rate trial in there as well. So we got 140 pounds of N or 90 pounds of N. And then we're actually even doing a source trial with it. We got it as urea, super U, and then we have a mixture of ESN in there as well. So we're playing around with, you know, broadcasting urea versus super U. We're putting it in the sideband then, either as urea or super U, and also as a blend as ESN. And then we're doing the same thing by putting that nitrogen in the mid-row. So as, again, urea, super U, and ESN. And with the two different rates, right? And I think that's going to be interesting moving forward. This last year we did do it. We saw some results.
I think it's interesting every time we do this, and the longer we do it, the more we learn. And the most important thing is that every year is different. Mm-hmm. So last year we go out and we do this trial. Some of the strips actually had the best favorable conditions that you could possibly ask for. Like as far as a broadcast application, you know, we
got some rain in the spring.
Well, we broadcast and seed it the same day. So normally that doesn't always happen. Sometimes there's an interval from the time that it's broadcast to the time it's seeded. Mm-hmm. And then it just worked out perfect that the only two significant rainfalls we got last year were right after we finished each set of trials.
Yeah.
We got an inch and a half after we did our canola. We got an inch and a quarter right after we did our wheat, which does favorable broadcast applications. And yet there were still some differences.
There was.
So yeah. I think at the end of this year, you know, good Lord willing, maybe we'll get some moisture again because we're definitely going to need some. But it's
into the actual growing season itself too. That'd be a change.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
And you know what? You bring up a good point about, you know, every year is different. And I guess this is one of the comments we get back as well. Like, hey, can we do these trials in different locations? Right. And it's a very good comment. I don't disagree. The style that we do these trials, you know, the kind of the larger, smaller scale trials, I mean, you basically need a farm to do it, right? And that makes it very difficult to do it this way. Now, I know we do play around with some smaller research stations if they have the proper equipment. And I think that's kind of the challenge in some of that is we are so particular about the exact opener, the exact configuration that we're playing with, that a lot of these research stations don't really have that, you know, right down to that finite detail. Some are very close, and we do try to do it in different locations. But I think the message there being is that, okay, understand this might not be the trial results that we get, might not be working in your area. There might be some, you know, differences in, you know, growing patterns or whatever, right? But I do
think the principles apply regardless of the location, though. Like, end placement is end placement. Whether you do it in St. Bruce, Saskatchewan or Regina, Saskatchewan, it's just, or Manitoba, Alberta, for that matter, it doesn't really matter. Like, end placement is end placement. The principles should apply wherever.
For the most part. I mean, obviously some different moisture look and different soil properties. Okay. But this is what we do. And what we do with all of this is to say, here's what we're trying. Here's maybe a little dive into it, right?
Yeah.
Try it on for yourself. Here's what we saw in this location. But we're doing it over at least multiple years then, to your initial point there, right?
As soon as you get a big enough sample set, you can have some reliability in the numbers. And that's why we just keep doing some of these continually over and over again.
And if we feel comfortable going up there and chatting, and heck, we're even doing a podcast, right? I mean, obviously we've got to be convinced of some of this stuff too. So continuing on though, onto some other trials that we got on the go. We've got what we're calling this Trimax trial, where we're kind of playing with, you know, some different configurations with our Trimax configuration. So that's, you know, we've got our seed going down, and then we've got a sideband placement, and we have a mid row placement. So playing with seed on its own, phosphorus in the sideband, nitrogen in the mid row. What if we bring some nitrogen into the sideband, or what if we bring some phosphorus out to the mid row? Kind of going back to some of that split placements, even with the Trimax to play around with. And then we're always comparing this against, you know, just a single knife with banders, our old, you know, the standard that kind of built Borgo up, just to kind of keep that as a, you know, call it a reference point. And then we bring that in with the sideband application as well, because I think we've got about 7 years of data on that already. So we want to continue that.
I think in order to fully exploit the benefit of the Trimax system, though, I think the neatest thing is the 20% reduction in seeding rate that's included in that trial.
In canola.
Yeah. Like, I think that's pretty cool, actually.
And the reason being is that we see if we guys are pumping fertilizer in close to the seed, we've kind of seen that reduction of about 20% in canola germination. So we say, okay, let's move it out to a safe spot and then reduce our seed rate to capture some of that seed cost savings for it. And that's...
Well, not only the seed cost savings, but we found from our seeding rate trials that, you know, having too many plants costs you money. So lots of times when we're seeding with a Trimax drill, we don't reduce the seeding rate. We end up with too much plants that cost us yield.
Definitely in the dry years.
In the dry years, for sure, yeah. So
no, that's a good point.
I like that trial a lot, actually.
Yeah. So we got that one, and now, you know, that leads right into our seed rate trial, and we have that both in canola and wheat. The seed rate trial has just been a really neat one to, you know, show what happens if you have low plant stands and you have high plant stands, you know, what that does by just adjusting the seed rate itself. We can get different plant stands by different fertilizer placements. We can kill off seed, you know, and all of a sudden we got low plant stands. And what happens if we got a different yield from that then? Well, was it the fertilizer placement and uptake, or was it the fact that we just literally have a lower plant stand versus a higher plant stand? And this seed rate trial definitely brings some insight into that.
Well, you can definitely see how you can change the plant physiology just by changing the rate of seed or changing the placement of the fertilizer. So that's the neat thing with that one. Wheat is wheat. Wheat, you don't get the differences in flowering and differences in plant structure. It's just...
Yield-wise, that's been such a weird trial where we've had a wet year, we had a dry year with it. Yield's been like exactly the same, but yet the one year, right, we had lots of lodging and a high seeding rate.
Correct.
And the lower seeding rate will reduce or lengthen out maturity a little bit, but
yeah. Well, you get way more tillers.
More tillers, right? It's not quite like canola, but it was that one's been an interesting one. I thought maybe we'd see some differences in wet and dry, and really haven't yet. So
no,
That's a hard red spring wheat. I guess maybe that's something different, but
to be determined.
Yeah, we'll do another one with that.
Mm-hmm.
Another trial we got on the go here, an opener trial. So this is playing around with the 3/4 inch versus 2 inch, and using a 10 inch base drill. Single shoot on the seed, and then I guess double shoot with banders, right? So small opener with banders, but then playing around with the seedbed utilization, saying, okay, can we increase our seedbed utilization by, you know, just increasing that tip? We say 2 inch, it's got a spread of about 1.5 inches, but call it almost double though of what the 3/4 is.
Yep.
You know, on canola, the thought there is if we combine this trial then with, we're actually increasing the rates of seed place fertilizer. So if we widen that tip, can we put in more fertilizer safely in canola? And that's a question we get. On the flip side, on wheat, you know, narrower spacing always seems to be a little bit more beneficial in wheat. So can we increase that size, get a little bit more seedbed utilization, spread it out a little bit?
Just to clarify, not row spacing. We're talking opener spacing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. We talk about row spacing narrower gives a more increase, potential yield increase. Well, can we also close that gap by increasing the opener? Yes. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Clarification.
I just need a clarification myself.
Yeah. We're not doing a 10 and 12 inch spacing again and changing tips. Yeah. No, we're changing tips, but we're not doing the row spacing one. Yeah.
Which is too bad because the row spacing one is quite easy. The changing tips is not so easy.
Well, except for we had to drop that back knife and we had to convert.
Oh, yeah. Right, that one
wasn't as fun actually, but
yeah,
we did that one. I think we kind of put a pin in that too for now. So, so the seed opener size trial, that one last year, canola didn't really do too much difference. The wheat actually showed, it did actually show a bit of a benefit at these different fertilizer rates by going to the wider tip. So we'll see if that continues. Another trial we got on the go here that, you know, second year of it is our Paralink dual shank opener. So the PLDS, we're playing around with that opener, cause we have the ability to move the fertilizer away from the seed, right? Or I guess the seed away from the fertilizer in this case, where we can go, you know, typically it's 1.5 inches to the side and 1 inch deep. Well, now we can move it to 2 inches away, 2.5 inches away, or bring it back close to 1.5 inches, but then maybe drop down that fertilizer down another 1/2 inch deeper, right? So that one, we got that both in canola and in wheat. And really that's just for the ability for someone who wants to just use a dual shank, but they're starting to put down quite a bit more fertilizer. We can call it relatively easily move that away to get a little safer.
There is the flexibility with that opener that you can have several different configurations. Yeah. So what happens when you go wider, closer? I think that's a pretty cool trial too.
They're all cool trials.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, no, of course, because they'll come from, you know, people want to know some of this stuff. So, but that one is on the canola has definitely shown them as we move it away. We just see the germination go up.
Bigger the separation, the more plants you get.
Exactly. And then we get a little bit more flexibility with that opener. So I think that is, you're right, a cool one.
But there is too wide.
You can go too wide.
We have found that you can go too wide.
Yeah, that fourth position up to, what would that be, 3 inches away? You basically just turn it into two knives.
Yeah.
More of a hay rake there. So
doesn't work quite the way you think, but yeah.
Yeah, so there is a watch out. But that one is good. Cool. So then we go on to some of these other trials here that we I guess both a continuation and also a couple new ones that we're going to play around with. So the deep FOSS trials that we do, that we did last year, that we started last year, implemented the one, saw some wicked results in the canola by putting FOSS, you know, 5 inches deep and then seeding over top. So that those treatments are still going to be in place. So there's the control, you know, we work some land, we did some deep FOSS, And then we did broadcast FOSS as well. So those are staying exactly the same. We're just going to seed wheat over it now.
Those strips have been marked out.
Yeah.
We're going to go out, we're going to seed wheat, and we're actually going to tabulate how much of a response we get in year two and year three.
But not adding any additional, just the normal seeding. But is that placement of deeper FOSS going to be beneficial in years after, right?
And
I'm thinking it might, but we'll see. We are adding another deep FOSS trial in combination with potash. So we're going to do on that field where we're seeding wheat, we're just moving it to another part of the field there. We're going to do it again with wheat being the first year of it, though, you know, versus canola was last year, but we're adding in not only deep FOSS, but we're putting in some deep potash as well. And we're just going to see what that does. Cause with this whole stratification talk in our soil results that we're getting back at those different levels, FOSS was stratified for sure. You could see it. But there was some potash stratification happening as well, right? Potassium, I guess I'd say.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But even in our top 2 inches, our potassium levels are low.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know, it'll be interesting at the end of the day, see what kind of response we get by putting K deep too.
Yeah. We are going to do a strip two where we're broadcasting it as well. So we're going to do the kind of the same comparison between FOSS and potash, or, you know, potassium, I guess, is the nutrient we're really looking at there. So yeah, I think that one's going to be neat. We'll see if we get the same results in wheat as we did in canola. Again, it's going to be moisture dependent, year dependent again. Last year was kind of set up for that, where it dried out during the growing season. But yeah, we'll see what happens in, you know, multiple years. Another trial that we got on the go this year. We're still kind of working out some of these details as I'm trying to figure out what we should do for treatments, but we're going to do some, I'll call it the soil enhancement trial. So we're playing around with some biologicals, you know, include some humic acid, some worm castings. We're going to see kind of what comes from this one. This is going to be a 3-year trial as well. So we're going to keep kind of those strips, I guess, in the same spot where we're doing this, because it's, you know, it's been told to me we want to kind of build it up over the year. So
yeah, some of the stuff, like I know the one particular product, Humatera, where it's a multi-year deal where we see what kind of response we get after year one, year two, year three.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I mean, this might be the most questions we got. Have we ever done anything with these kinds of, you know, I'll call it these kinds of products or you know, with the biologicals?
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of money invested into the biological end, and it'd be, I don't know, just for our own personal curiosity, just to see how that's all going to pan out.
I am excited about it. I've just got to, you know, hammer down a few of these treatments a little bit more here, because, you know, being a 3-year trial, I want to make sure that we're setting it up correctly, right? So yeah, we've got that on the go on the trials. Another one, and this one's maybe not for spring. We're going to maybe talk about this one a little bit if we can put it in this fall. Actually, another crop we're going to play around with, some winter canola.
You know, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. I can't forget about that one. That one's going to be interesting. You know, not popular at all in Western Canada.
A little risky.
You know, and winter canola isn't like we're doing spring varieties and we're just seeding in fall. This is
a true winter canola.
It's a winter canola. It's not really rapeseed either. It's actually canola. They got the low linolenic and uric acid. Apparently. We're trying to get our hands on some seed, and we're going to put those in, and we're going to play around with maybe some row spacing, potentially singulated versus volumetric, and then also tilled versus not tilled. And a lot of this information, you know, we're trying to glean from this, you know, could be useful down into, you know, into the States, potentially Ontario, some other places, some other markets where we're playing around. So that one could be fun. I don't know if we have anything really in, we're doing faba beans this year. We haven't really, I don't know if we're playing around with anything in faba beans.
On the farm side, we're going to do copper response on faba beans.
Okay.
Some people say you're not supposed to get a copper response, but yet I've talked to lots of people that do get a response from copper. I don't know. I think faba beans for us is just going to be a neat experience for the, we can't grow peas because of phantomyces.
Definitely not.
We're not really in a good lentil area, so we wouldn't grow those anyway, even despite the fact we have a phantomyces. But seeing it would be really good if we could actually incorporate a pulse into our rotation on the farm side. So that's why we kind of picked Fabus.
Fabus,
days to maturity are a little bit of an issue. Lots of guys around here have been growing them for 3-4 years now. So we're going to give her a go this year too.
They need late moisture though, hey? They need it.
It needs to rain. It
needs to rain.
It does need to rain.
Well, I think, you know, other than maybe doing some, putting some flags up randomly out there, and maybe I'll keep you guessing on some of that, who's ever seen that there, maybe.
Yeah. So people need to realize, you know, Curtis, he does things on the fly all the time. It kind of drives me nuts, but that's okay. But yeah, he randomly changes stuff in the field and doesn't tell me. And the next thing you know, you go out there and there's flags jammed all over the place because you want to keep track of all the stuff that he did, but he won't tell me what he did until the end of the year.
But yeah, hey, in fairness, that potash trial that we did, was pretty cool.
We got
between seed row and mid row.
We got wicked drone photos.
That was pretty cool.
Potassium deficiency. And if you didn't do that in that one particular field, we never would have known what was going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, no,
I stand by it.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's
randomizing.
Kind of what we need to do.
We'll do double blind sometimes too, because I'll forget what I did.
But. I'm double blind. I'm always double blind. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's kind of laid out what we're up to for next spring and summer. Unless you had anything else to add in there?
Not particularly.
Not particularly. Well, I think we can just, you know, wish everybody a great spring, a safe spring. I hope everything goes, you know, as planned, which it never does, but as best as it can. And that everybody has a really good spring, gets it up and going. And with that, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in and following us along in this first season here. And like we said, we'll be back in probably start of July or so and jump to the next one.
Fantastic. Let's give her.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll look forward to talking with you then, and we'll get you growing. Thanks a lot.
Happy seeding and happy planting.